Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed and highly flavored and favored? Amen. Praise God. God is good all the time. You know, we're in such a season right now that it's pretty intense. One of the things we got to ask ourselves, if God was to show up right now, bam, he's there. Would he say, enter in, my good and faithful servant, or depart, I don't know you? You know, many people think because they're good, they're going to make it. You know, one of the things the devil says is, God knows your heart. He does. The problem is people don't. They fall in the arena of religious acts and lose relationship because one of the most important things for you and me is to hear the voice of God. To hear the voice. Anybody can read a book. Amen. But it's important that we hear the voice of God so that we can confirm what God is saying through his word. Now, does God speak through his word? Yes. But what happens when you don't have a Bible? See, he wants you to rely on him as a person, a relationship. You know, when I had my visitation from the Lord over 22 years ago, probably 23, I don't know why I lost count. After I had my visitation from the Lord, we spoke to one another. There was a communion. In fact, I didn't even want to read the Bible. I said, why do I need to read the Bible? I can hear you. You just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And it went on for a couple of weeks. And then he said, that's enough. I said, what do you mean? He said, I want you to know my word. Because there's other areas in my word that I can bring you to. And my word is true. So I want you to know this word. See, so many people don't even believe. You know how many believers go to church and don't read the Bible? And they think they're going to get home. See, because the Lord says, if you don't believe this doctrine, you're not mine. Does everybody get this? If you don't believe this doctrine, you're not mine. Because there are many deceiving, seducing, seductive doctrines of demons and spirits that are misleading people. They're getting more interested in just all the what people have to say in books and things, and to that degree, more interested in YouTube and internet than what God's truly saying. And that is a great distraction right now. One of the things the enemy does is distract us, and he does it well. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that there's not good things in there, because there is. But one of the things that you and I must maintain is that true relationship with him, where there's that personal relationship, and he confirms things through his word. Amen. Does everybody get this? It's important. Why? Jesus said something very important. He said, no one can really have eternal life unless you eat my flesh, which is this, and drink my blood, which is worship, and getting in his spirit. Nobody can have eternal life. Why? Because he is the tree of life. There is no other. Has everybody got it? So many people are thinking, well, I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I just go out and do whatever I want to do. I can think of whatever I want to think, say whatever I want to say, and I'm going to be fine. Wrong. The reason why there is a doctrine is so that we live according to his will and his way, not ours. See, when we give Jesus Christ our life, you no longer have one. You've given up yours. The problem is that people go back and fight for their life instead of fighting for the life of Christ in this realm. Does everybody understand? Is everybody with me? Do y'all get this? It is vitally important. Hallelujah. We need to shut that off. Praise God. Would you grab your swords, please? We're going to go to the Word of God. Hallelujah. You know, there are many things that we're waiting for right now in fulfillment of prophecy. Go to Acts chapter 1. One of the things that we're waiting for is the area of a seven-year treaty that should be coming up. Amen? Well, I don't know if you heard or not, but there's been supposedly an eight-year treaty that's been negotiated by Hamas and Israel. And there's supposed to be an eight-year ceasefire, which they just negotiated a day or two ago. I don't know whether it's really working yet, but it's been negotiated. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because what's the treaty going to come between? It's got to come between Islam and Israel, because that goes back to Esau and Jacob and Isaac and Ishmael all the way back. They've been feuding ever since. That's what the battle's over. So it's very possible that it's a start. In Acts chapter 1, is everybody there? In verse 4. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Would you read it with me? And being assembled together with them, this is Jesus being assembled with them, he did what? He did what? He commanded. So he didn't ask them. He didn't say, would you mind? He didn't say, would you please? He commanded them. He commanded them to do something because he knew that this would be vitally important in their life. It would be life-changing. He commanded them to do what? He commanded the what? Not to what? Not to depart from Jerusalem. So he said, stay in Jerusalem, but wait for the what? Wait for the what? The promise. How many of y'all know that God is a covenant-keeping promise daddy? He said, wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with what? The Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he commanded them to wait to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So many people accept Jesus as Savior and never Lord. They say they've accepted him as, oh, he's my Lord and Savior. But see, when he's your Lord, he lords over your life. Lord is a different arena. So he must be more than just Savior to you. He must be Lord. And when he is Lord, he lords over your life because you've given it back to him. Now go to verse 8. And it says, and you shall what? Receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be what? You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In other words, you shall be witnesses. How will you be witnesses? You will be a messenger. Can you lower this just a little? You will be a messenger. Everyone say, I will be a messenger. I will be a covenant messenger. Why? Because the message I will carry is covenant message. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Again, we are in a time right now where the world needs covenant messengers. But how can you be a covenant messenger if you're not maintaining covenant? Amen? You must maintain covenant to be a covenant messenger. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to what? Preach the gospel, which is a covenant message, isn't it? Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is what? It is what? It's foolishness. The message, this covenant message of the cross, is foolishness to those who are what? Perishing or dying. They're dying. It's foolish to them. In other words, this gospel is foolish to them because they're dying. They are separated from God. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe or follow. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26, read it with me. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So we see that the message of the cross is foolish, amen, to those who are perishing. But God takes a message that seems foolish to people that are perishing and imparts it into people that were foolish, that were a mess. Everyone said, I was a mess. Now I'm a messenger. Oh, glory. We were a mess to a messenger. Does everybody get it? We were a mess. But God took us, put us the palm of his hand, breathed in us, blew the dust off from the earth, put a new spirit and a new heart in us, and said, you were a mess, but now you're my messenger. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. He turns us from the mess to the messenger. In 1 John chapter 1, we are a covenant messenger, a mess to a messenger. Why? Because the world needs the messengers that carry a covenant of the eternal king. 1 John chapter 1. Oh, yes. In verse 5. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. This is the message. Here's the message. Are you ready? To the messenger to carry the message. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So there's no gray area. You're either in the light or you're not. You're either in life or you're in death. You're either blinded or you see. Hear all the confirmations. Praise God. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Whoa. In other words, depending. Listen, I love Jesus. Everybody says, I love Jesus. But there are many people that say they love Jesus but still touch unclean things. They still do things. They associate with things that are unclean. Associations bring them irritation. They favor things that are unclean. So that makes them unclean. And they don't even realize that they're unclean, that they're contaminated, they're dirty before God Almighty, because they don't see it. Let me share with you the worst thing that can happen to any believer is to lose conviction. We should be searching conviction, not avoiding it. Does everybody understand that? Every one of us should search for conviction by the Spirit. Does everybody get it? We should never avoid conviction or ignore it, because you're in danger of damnation. You have rejected God, and he is now rejecting you. The Word says, grab hold of God, and he'll grab hold of you. You let go of him, he lets go of you. The moment you cover up conviction, you've broke covenant. You are no longer a covenant messenger. Does everybody get this? This is vitally important in these days. Vitally. Because there's a lot of individuals that have been compromising, being complacent, touching on things, unclean things, thinking, oh, it's okay. See, even the Word tells us that many will come before the Lord and they're going to say, Lord, I fed people. I did this out of compassion. But they rejected God's conviction. And he says, I don't know you. Why? Because you practice lawlessness. Why? When did I do that? When you ignored my convictions in your life, when you spoke to that person, when you associated with those people, when you blessed people that were evil. Does everybody understand that? When you did certain things that were displeasing to God, when you were warned over and over and over, when I told you things before and you ignored them and rejected them, but you thought it was okay to do them again now. Is everybody okay? That's ignoring the conviction. When you ignore the conviction, you are in great danger. Great danger. Everybody okay? Praise God. Okay, now, verse 7. Let's go verse 6 again so we get this re-imparted. If we say that we fellowship with and walk in darkness, we lie. So God looks at us as a liar. Does everybody get this? Now, who's the father of all lies? Satan. So he looks at you now as a child of wrath. Not a child of light, but a child of wrath. Why? Because he says you lie. And we do not practice the truth. Well, truth is light. Light is life. So the only way to have life is to practice life. That's why we eat of the tree of life, not good and evil. Amen? So we partake of the Word. We partake of the Spirit, which brings life, in hope that there is conviction in things that we may be associating with or doing. We should look for conviction. We should be quick all the time. Why? Because if you're not looking for conviction, you're not looking to repent. And if you're looking for conviction, you're looking to repent. Why? What are you doing then? You're exposing darkness, aren't you? You're looking for an open door that the enemy may have, or something you've done, whether by ignorance or on purpose, whether willfully or unwillfully, Whether you got deceived or something to that degree, you are searching out things to shut doors in your life. And if you're not willing to, then the enemy has access to you. And it's just a matter of time till he takes you out. Amen? All right now, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all what? Sin. Why? Because if we're walking, if we're having fellowship with him and we're walking in the light, light exposes darkness, sin. Then you're going to do what? You're going to repent, aren't you? You're going to look for conviction. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Well, I'm fine. Well, you're an idiot. Ain't nobody fine. Nobody's made it yet, man. And not until you're in the throne room of God and you go, I made it! But not till then. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Why? Because truth will bring conviction. Amen? You want to be a messenger of the covenant, you must maintain covenant. And one of the things you must always look for is conviction. Why? I want to be convicted. What did David say to the Lord? Lord, have them slap me. Slap me. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Whoa! In other words, you must have something to discern with. That's why we partake of the word of God, because what it does is it tells us what truth is so we can compare it to what lies are. See, because we are born in deception, weren't we? The earth is ruled by deception. Satan's kingdom is nothing but... He's the master deceiver. It says he's been sent to the earth, and he rules the whole world under deception. Amen? Oh, praise God. Malachi 3. So what are we going to look for? Conviction. The moment you stop looking for conviction, and I'm not, you know, that should always be a part of us. We should always be, that's called self-examination, isn't it? You know, and let me tell you something also. If you think that's a possibility, that something wasn't right, repent. Err on that side instead of the other, man. Amen? Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Hello. Why do you think God's calling up covenant messengers now? Are we preparing his way? Amen. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. So is the temple got to be built? Amen. There's going to be a temple going to be built. Even the messenger of the what? The covenant. Who's the messengers of the covenant? We are. John the Baptist was a messenger of the covenant. He prepared the way. He came in the spirit of what? Elijah. In whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. The word host means army. He is the Lord of the army. You are the messengers of the covenant. Why? Because you're in the army of God. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, which are priests. You must be fulfilled priesthood before you can become a king. A priest is always must be established in our life. It is an office that is always maintained. And a priest is one who ministers to the Lord. You do that through praise and worship. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Wow. Now look at this. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old and in the former years. Look at this. And I will come near you for what? Judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, idolaters, perjurers, those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien. Now, I want you to know that this is not an alien. Hello. So, I mean, the Pope's going to accept them, but we're going to reject them. Hello? Does everybody understand that? You know they're out there looking for aliens now. You know, the Catholic Church has the most powerful telescope in the world. It's in Arizona. It's called Lucifer. and they believe that the Jesuits have already made contact with aliens, but they don't get that they're nothing but fallen angels and demons with technology. There is no aliens from other planets. They're demons and fallen angels. Does everybody get it? Nephilims. So when it says, and against those who turn away alien, that doesn't mean an alien from outer space. It means somebody else from another country. Does everybody get it? Because they do not fear me, he says, the Lord of hosts. Because they do not what? Fear him. Reverence, honor, and respect is the fear of the Lord. Is everybody all right? Oh, praise God. For I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Return everything. Of course, the Lord rebukes them, tells them, you're not tithing, you're not giving offerings, you're not bringing the finances to the storehouses of God so that I can feed and clothe my children. You can read the rest of that, but I'm not going to go in that. So we must be keepers of the covenant, and we must maintain also the fear of the Lord. Amen? Remember, we are looking for conviction, not avoiding it. Romans chapter 1. Why? Because we want to maintain a covenant messenger. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Let's speak it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know what? That every person in this world is without excuse. That's all they need to do is look up and look around. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became what? Fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. Now this is pretty intense. Who exchanged the truth of God for the what? For a lie. And worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions. He let them go. Let me tell you, when God steps away, every demon in hell wants that person. And when they get into that person, evil, demonic things begin to happen. Why? Because a demon is a disembodied spirit looking for a place to be fed. And they get fed by emotion. And there are the people that are led by their emotions, and they respond to emotion all the time, are the most dangerous people there are, because you can't trust them. They do things out of emotion instead of out of truth. We serve a God of truth, not a God of emotion. There's three emotions: peace, joy, and righteousness. Hello? Even love is a choice. Y'all understand it. It says he loved us, and now we choose to love him. Most people have lust affairs, not love affairs. Then they wish, oh my God, I can't believe I married that person. I thought I loved them. Let me tell you, God's rescued a lot of people, and then they go right back to the pit. Hallelujah. That's a whole other industry. Praise God. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for their own women exchanged a natural use for what was against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Why? That could only be done by a presence of evil. Man with men, women with women, men with animals, women with animals. That can only be done by the presence of evil. So now that they've approved same-sex marriage, they just promoted the presence of evil. Amen? Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. In other words, he let the demons take them. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God. In other words, you were born with that. That those who practice, now this is important, that those who practice such things are deserving of what? Death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those things who practice them. So look at, those that are practicing these things are deserving of death, and those who approve of what they're doing will be judged the same way. Now remember, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places. We are fighting evil spirits that want to use people. Does everybody get it? That want to use individuals. To what? To get fed and to kill and to go on to someone else down the family line. So as an anything that you and I have practiced, BC, if you've repented, God's forgiven and he has forgotten. But the enemy doesn't. He always wants to bring your past up to the presence and torment you. But that's where God has given you the power to choose. You don't have to look behind anymore. You keep looking forward. When the enemy brings that to you, the word says you're a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away and all things become new. So it wasn't you that did it. Why? Because you stepped into a new. I'll never forget when I was going to court. I had a mandatory 4-year prison term to do because I got busted with guns and dope. And I had a minimum 4 years to do. And I thought, you know what? It wasn't me that did it. I couldn't go in the courtroom and sound like Flip Wilson and say, oh, the devil made me do it. It'll lock me up for sure. But I couldn't go in there and tell them it wasn't me. I mean, they caught me red-handed or blue-handed. I don't remember. But anyways, there was just no way. Well, Your Honor, it wasn't really me. Why? Because I'm a new creation in Christ. Bailiff, get this kid out of here. Just lock him up in a nut house, you know. I tried to tell my attorney that too, but he was a public pretender. So that wasn't going to work either. So the only one I could rely on was the Lord. And he said, I'll be your attorney, guy. I said, I don't have to say nothing. He says, don't say nothing. So what about no? He said, no, say nothing. I went before the judge. The judge looked at me and said, probation. I wanted to say it. He said, shh. It's almost like I felt the Lord's hand go, poof. I walked out of that room on a mandatory minimum 4-year prison term to do. I walked out of that courtroom on probation. And I only had to do 2 years. And I wasn't worried about probation because I didn't plan on doing anything stupid. Why? Because I was a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away and all things became new. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. So anyways, so people that practice these things and people that approve those things are going to be judged the same way. So everybody got it. So here you got believers that God is trying to raise up to be covenant messengers, but they're approving of the things that are not right. Then they can't be qualified. See, one of the things the enemy wants to do is disqualify you. Amen? He wants to disqualify you. How does he disqualify you? He disqualifies you by getting you to react to the flesh, getting you to react to emotions. Does everybody get it? Why? Because if you react, you sow to the flesh. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. What does that do? It opens the door to the enemy. So the enemy, listen, the Bible tells us that sin is always knocking on your door. Hello? Too many people answer it, say, hi, come on in. They don't even recognize sin knocking at the door. And they go in that cycle, repeat the same thing over and over and over. You know why? They're not serious enough. They're not serious enough. They really haven't taken it to heart, the seriousness of life and death. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. Let's go somewhere. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Oh, glory. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Hebrews 10, verse 32. You know, I think one of the most arenas of deception is music. And even if it has a Christian lyrics, it's its intent that deceives people. You know, because once that harmony and rhythm is burned in you, from hearing it once before. I don't care what it is. If it's wrapped and it's been burned in you, and you've heard it before and you know what that intent is, even if you can put Christian lyrics in it, that intent still stirs you up to the past. Does everybody get it? Man, I'll still hear stuff and be like, whoa. And next thing you know, you'll think about whatever things of your past, you know. And you can't help it when you go into the stores or whatever, and there's just some places you can't help it. But what you do is you just shake it off when you get done, when you get out of there. Amen? I mean, when I can sense it starting to really pressure me, I'll start hallelujahing. Hallelujah! You know, I don't care where I am. Hallelujah! Why? Because I'm making contact with Dad, and the presence of God comes, the angels come and push away the darkness. Why? Because what are they trying to do? They're trying to distract us. They're trying to re-enter us. They're knocking at the door. They knock at the door through music. And people still don't get it. And they wonder why they're roller coaster emotional lives. They wonder why they go in circles. They wonder why one day they're this way and the next day they're the other way. And they wonder why God's not showing them favor. And what favor he blessed you with will turn into a curse. Okay. Everybody all right? Praise God. Let's grow a little further. Verse 32. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you what? Endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were what? So treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. In other words, they didn't care about. Everybody was all unified. They didn't care. They weren't holding on to materialism. They were out for one cause, to advance. Knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your what? Confidence, which has great reward. Read this with me. For you have need of what? Endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just live by faith, but if anyone draws back, this is the Lord saying, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. Wow. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, what ministry is it? Well, we're going to, not only is it reconciliation, but it's associated with the covenant messengers. We are messengers of the covenant. We are carriers of the eternal covenant. Because once you connect covenant in someone's life, they're connected with eternity. Does everybody get it? It's almost like hooking them. You're tying them up. They've got a life preserver on now. And the helicopter's getting ready to pull them up. They got a ticket home. As long as they stay strapped. Amen? Because people start playing with their straps. They want to turn it into bling. And when they do that, they start messing with it and it gets undone. Because the cares of the world turns it blingy. Oh, hallelujah. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the what? Hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is what? Even if the message of the covenant is blinded by others, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled by those who are what? Perishing. They're dying. They're drifting. No life preserver. No contact. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, people know. They know that you're a believer. They know. They sense the shine of God's glory on you. They sense a glow coming from you. Christ is shining his face through you. See, we are not only messengers of covenant, but we are covenant messengers face to face. Amen? Eye contactors. See, many people can't look in your eyes because of what's in them. Amen?
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes.
I want to go to Psalm 50. Actually, I want to go to 2 Chronicles. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 7 before we go to Psalm 50. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 12. It says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and he said to him, 'I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land.'" Well, that's why this land's not healed. That's why this land will not be healed, because they haven't turned their way. "Now, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I coveted with David your father, saying, 'You shall not fail to have a man as ruler in Israel.' But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them. In this house, which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight and make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples." That's a word for this country also. This is why there's got to be covenant messengers in these last days, because we don't know how many days we have left. We must get serious and keep this in an area to heart, that you and I look for conviction. We keep shutting the door to the enemy. Why? Because something could happen any second. It's not a matter of days anymore. It can happen any second. And if we're not right where we're supposed to be, and I'm going to tell you, many people are going to be left behind, many, thinking that they were right, thinking that they were good. Many are going to be amazed. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 2, then we'll go to Psalms. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, would you read it with me? "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." So listen, the prince of power of air is still working in the sons of disobedience. These are spirits that the Antichrist is releasing to distract God's people. Believe me, they're after me and you. They already have the ones that are lost. They're after trying to get me and you out of position. Amen? "Among whom also we once walked according to ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Lust of the flesh, lust of the mind. Those are desires, aren't they? "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and by grace you've been saved, and raised up us together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding great riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." So at one time, you and I were children of wrath, but he rescued me and you. He took the mess and turned us into a messenger. Amen? Go to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. Now, I want you to grab hold of an area, because when a person is out of order, not aligned, they're no longer considered righteous. They're considered wicked. Somebody got it? They're no longer righteous. They are what? Wicked. So are good people considered righteous or wicked? Wicked. Does everybody get that? Okay, let's find out what the Lord says about the wicked. Verse 16. Psalm 50, 16. "But to the wicked God says," are you there? Let's speak it together. "What right do you have to what? Declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth?"
Whoa. Why? Because only those who are covenant keepers are qualified to speak covenant of God. Seeing you hate instruction. Come on, read it with me. And cast my words behind you. And you saw a thief and you consented with him. And have been a partaker with adulterers. You gave your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you. But I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God or lose the fear of the Lord. I will tear, lest I tear you what? In pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Wow. Is everybody cool? Let's go to Hebrews 4. Hebrew 4, verse 1. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Not mixing it with what? Faith in those who heard it. It did not profit them because they didn't believe, receive, and what? Execute. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said. So I swore in my wrath they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again, in this place they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore remains that some must enter it, and those whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, it has been said, today if you will hear his voice and do not what? Harden your hearts. Let's go to Titus chapter 1. I think that's it. Titus. Now, let's go to Romans 10. Hallelujah. Some things just don't change. Romans 10. Praise God. In verse 14. Is everybody there? Romans 10, verse 14. Let's speak it together. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher or a covenant messenger? Amen? You know, so many people, man, you a preacher? I want to say, no, I'm just a messenger. You know, it's like that old school type of thing, preachers, you know, spitting cop balls and stuff like that, you know. We are messengers. Does everybody get it? We are covenant messengers. It's much more than a preacher. We are covenant messengers. Why? Because we carry a covenant message and we maintain covenant. That's what qualifies me and you to be a covenant messenger. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Yes. Let's go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Praise God. Is everybody there? Verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he judges. He does what? He judges and what? Makes wars. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on a white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'd like to go to a couple places so you see what's going on. In Joel chapter 2.
in Joel. We're going to Joel's place. Joel chapter 2. In verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the earth tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come great and strong, like the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like a garden of Eden before them, and behind them is a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses and like swift steeds, so they run. With a noise like chariots over mountaintops they leap, like the noise of a flaming fire that devours a stubble, like a strong people set in a battle array. Before them the people writhe in pain. All faces are drained of color. They run like a mighty man. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column, though they lunge between the weapons. They are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city and run on a wall. They climb into houses and enter the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, and his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word or carries his message. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? In other words, this is why we're covenant messengers or people who are going to end up in the day of the Lord. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, starting at verse 1, Zechariah 14, verse 1, we'll read the first five verses. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. This city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as he fights in a day of battle. And that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives." That means this is not the rapture. This is the return of the Lord for wrath. This is when the Lord comes in the day of the Lord. Does everybody get it? This is when he touches down on the Mount of Olives, and we will be with him. "Which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be" what? "Split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half toward the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley. From the mountain valley shall reach the Azel, and you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you." Why? Because when he touches Mount of Olives, it will split and give a way for the Jews to escape before all destruction hits even more. I want to close at 2 Corinthians 6. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, when Daniel was showed all this by the angel in Daniel 12, and the angel was sharing with him and showing him what was going on, and then at the end, the angel said, "Okay, now seal the book. Many will go to and fro, and knowledge will increase." Well, I want you to know the seal's been broke. The seal of the book of Daniel has been broke. There's much understanding being released. Amen? It's for me and you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, is everybody there? In verse 14, what does it say? "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now, let me ask you this. The word believe means to what? Follow. So if somebody says they're a believer, but they're not a follower, then they're what? They're not a believer. Do you understand that? That is, there is no gray area. Please grab hold of this. There's no gray area. Do not yoke yourself with unbelievers. Does everybody get that? Yoking yourself is different than having to go to work or saying hello, or sometimes you got to go to a family function and everybody, it's not an easy thing when your parents are, you can't yoke yourself with them. Amen? Does everybody understand it? We don't yoke with them. We don't yoke with anything that's gray or black. Those are areas of the presence of evil. Somebody get it? Why? Because sin's always knocking to try to... What you associate with, you will what? You will what? Become. Amen. I'm telling you, then you, when you leave those places, you got to shake the dust off because you've been bit multiple times. You don't even realize you've been bit by serpents. And they put a venom in you. And it begins to run through you. And it's just a matter of time where it really contaminates you unless you do something about it. Do not be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with what? Lawlessness. And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with an idiot? Or an idol. I'm sorry. For you are the what? You're the temple of God Almighty. You are a covenant messenger. You need to take this to heart. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I'll walk among them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. But if you got to do something, you got to come out from among them. From among what? Grays. They're grays. Does everybody get it? They're grays. Why? Because they proclaim to be believers and good people. They go to church and they tithe, but they ain't right. They're not right. You try to tell them something with the word of God, they don't even believe it. No, I don't believe that. See ya. Why? Because then they're obviously believing another doctrine, aren't they? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. See, God knows the intent of the heart. He knows exactly what's what. Amen? He knows. There's nothing hidden. And people's hearts... People can come and fake worship all they want. They can do what they can dance. They can do all kinds of stuff, and their heart can still be hardened. Why? Because they're rejecting conviction. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what's unclean, and then I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And that's when people begin to move out of relationship. Does everybody get it? Son and daughter, they separate from a relationship. Some people have never even known God as daddy. They only know him as God because they're still not willing to let go because the intents of their hearts are not right. Amen? Listen, we want to be covenant messengers. That means we must maintain covenant. Don't avoid conviction. Look for it. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I apply the blood of Jesus on the seed that's been imparted. It will grow and bear fruit for your glory. And that we would take this to heart and come out from among them, that we may be separated and not unevenly yoked, nor agreeing with the things that are unclean, but that we may be well-pleasing to you, willing messengers and servants that carry a covenant message. Father, thank you so much. Thank you. And we promise to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.